That's my prayer. I trust that it's yours today, that the Lord will become the center focus and center part of our lives and our experience this morning as we meet together, as we open God's Word together. Let me just raise a little bit of Bible trivia with you, see how much you know about the Scriptures. How many of the Gospels, well, let me put it this way, which one of the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, does not present to us a detailed record of the Lord's Supper? Anybody, you know that one? You think you know that one? Hands up if you think you know. I won't call on you. You know which one it is. Good. All right. That's good. So three of the Gospels tell us in detail about the Lord's Supper. What is the very first recorded outline or presentation of the Lord's Supper that we have? Do you think you know? Pick out where you think it comes from. You're right. It's 1 Corinthians. What? Yeah. Well, most Bible teachers looking at the record of Scripture have determined that or think that 1 Corinthians is the first New Testament writing to be written down. Now, shortly after that comes Mark and others, that records that were written, but the Apostle Paul would be the first one to give us a detailed presentation of the Lord's Supper when he wrote a letter to the Corinthians. And I want to read that one with you. It may be on the screen for you here, but it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 23 through 26, and you recall how that Paul had met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had spent 10 years in the wilderness as the Lord spoke to him. We don't know all of the details of that, but certainly he learned a lot about what was important to the Lord, and so he writes here, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" In other words, twice in that night, as Paul remembers the Lord sharing with him, the Lord Jesus repeated, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he was talking about what we know as it's described in Scripture, the Lord's Last Supper with his disciples. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to cause us to remember something and to focus upon that in our life journey, and that is that through Jesus Christ, God made possible eternal life for us and a meaningful life here and hereafter. We're not to forget that. Jesus wanted us to remember that, and so he set before us this memorial supper that forever we would remember that through his death and through his saving blood, we have eternal life forever and a meaningful life here on earth. September the 1st in 1923, the strongest earthquake ever recorded happened in Japan and focused upon the city of Hiroshima, I think they call it. And in that earthquake, which was like 7 times greater or 13 times greater than the earthquake that shook San Francisco, where so many people died there, 200,000 Japanese people lost their lives in that earthquake. It's a horrible thing. Over 2 million people were left homeless. You can imagine in 1923 what this did to the country of Japan. Well, when that word got back to the United States immediately our hearts went out to the people of Japan, There were over 150 ships that were packed and sent sailing quickly to Japan, and assistance was rendered to them, so much so that the people of Japan truly were touched by this and their leadership. And Hirohito, who was the emperor of Japan, wrote a personal handwritten letter back to the president of the United States in which he thanked us. And I want to read you a statement he made in that letter. He said, "The people of Japan thank you. The people of Japan will never forget." 18 years later, on a quiet Sunday morning on December the 1st, 1941, the Japanese Imperial Navy and Air Force bombed Pearl Harbor. The people of Japan forgot. That day has become known to us as a day of infamy, a day that will go down in history as a day that people forgot. And the reason that came to my mind was this. I want to just ask you a question this morning. How many kindnesses have you forgotten? How many kindnesses and favors from God have you forgotten? You see, Jesus knew us. He knew we were forgetful. He knew we were prone to forget things. And so when he came to the close of his life, he said, "I want to do something that I, as often as you do this, it will remind you. It will remind you forever what I have done for you." And so he gave us the supper, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. As long as you remember my death on the cross, as long as you remember what I have done for you in the cross, your life will be forever grateful and responsive to what God intends for us to know. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, you know, our children are not in the room this morning, most of them, but if they were, some of them would be asking you in a few minutes when we are observing, celebrating the Lord's Supper. They will say, "Dad, Mama, what does this mean? What does this mean?" And that's kind of like, sometimes I think it's important. Some of the greatest lessons children could learn would be right here. What does this mean? And so I want to give you some answers this morning for your children and for us as well. When Jesus told us this, what he intended, "Do this in remembrance of me," is that this table and this occasion would be a place of remembrance. He wanted us to remember his death on the cross for our sin. The scripture tells us there in verses 23 and 24, 1 Corinthians, "The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Christians are to remember that Christ Jesus died on the cross for our sin. That's what this is all about. The Lord's Supper celebrated the permanent spiritual deliverance of a new relationship, a new covenant with God. The bread represents and represented the body of Christ. He is the Messiah. By pointing to his body, Jesus meant that his whole person, not just his blood, but his life, his teachings, his ministry, everything about Jesus has been offered for us. He did that for us. It was for you. It was for me. Remember that. "This is my body, which is broken for you," he tells us there in verse 24. Now, John specifically writes in his gospel that the Romans did not break the legs of Jesus on the cross. There's reasons for that and all that, but John just makes that notation. John did that because, number one, Jesus had already died when the soldiers came to that moment when they would break the legs of someone who was being crucified on the cross, and there was no need to break a bone of his body. He was already dead. But John also had another thought, I'm sure, in mind, or the Holy Spirit did, and that is that long hundreds of years before the cross, God had already foretold that when his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was crucified, that the scripture would be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken. In fact, in all the old Bibles, the word broken is not even there. It's another word, but it doesn't make any difference there. Just the importance is still the same. Jesus offered himself, body, blood, all on the cross for you and for me. Now, here's what we need to focus in on here. If you've ever had a moment in your life, if you're going through a time like that in your life now, when you're saying, what is my life? I mean, what's it worth? I mean, I'm not worth anything. Just think for a moment. Jesus Christ died for you. Scripture tells us there in the book of Romans, Paul says, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were your very worst, while you were the farthest away from God, while you were in the deepest state of need in your life, Jesus Christ died for you. How can you ever look at your life in a mirror or in your mind and say, I don't matter? My life isn't worth anything. Your life is worth the sinless life, death, and blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And Jesus said, don't you ever forget this. Don't forget it. Remember. Luke reported that Jesus said at the table that night, this cup, which he offered to his disciples, is the new covenant, the new relationship in my blood, which is shed for you. He intended that the fruit of the vine in its crimson color would remind them of the blood of Jesus that would be shed in just a short time on the cross. And now we drink that cup to remember the Savior's death as he died for us. We hold that cup in our hand and we remember that Jesus died for my sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, something else we need to think about here. There's a grammatical way in which Jesus said this, but you don't need grammar lessons this morning. But I will tell you this, that when Jesus spoke those words to his disciples, he did so in a commanding manner. The words are a command. This is not an option. Every once in a while, I run into someone who says, well, I've been in church in years, you know. You got some problems with the Lord. He said, you do this. You have some problems here. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do this in remembrance of me. One of my favorite times growing up was in the late afternoon, because usually we were able to get loose for a little while as kids. And I always liked that time in the evening when my mom would come to the back door and you would hear her as she called out, come to supper. And I was faster than the rest. I always got there. I love coming to supper. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. He's saying to his disciples, to you and to me, come to supper. Come to supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Come and relive the experience. One of the things that happened when we came to supper at our house, and I'm sure most of you do this too, usually when supper was out on the table and after supper, we engaged in something that some people call table talk. You know, table talk. And in table talk, you talk about what happened in the past 24 hours, the past week, or some other time, some favorite story you heard in the past. And so I'm sure that what Jesus meant that night, as he and his disciples gathered around that table, he intended that there would be some table talk, and Jesus was giving them table talk, turning back to the past when the scriptures that would be fulfilled in his death that was soon to come. But he also, and we did this too, at table talk time, we would talk a little bit about the future. What am I going to do next week, next month? What are my plans? What's going to happen, take place in be taking place in our lives. And Jesus also intended that when we come to this table, that we not just remember, well, that's when the Lord died upon the cross. Folks, there's something coming. Jesus intended us to remember this. And I will read verse 26 there. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Jesus Christ is coming back. And even if he should tarry and we should die, we're going to meet him. It's a future thing. We're going to meet the Lord. He's going to come back. We're going to meet him. And every time we come to this table, it's a reminder. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm coming back. You're going to meet me. We're going to get together. We're going to be together. Wow. So the Lord's Supper will keep you looking back when Jesus died, to when he covered your sins and gave you peace and gave you a meaningful life. It keeps you looking ahead because you're going to see him. You're going to meet the Lord. Now, the Lord's words are carefully spoken. He says, "For this is my body, which is for you." We're remembering Christ's promise never to forsake or to leave us. There is a spiritual experience or relationship when we take the body of Christ, when we take that cup. We are remembering that Christ Jesus has become part of us in his Holy Spirit. We are partners together with him. Paul says there in chapter 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion, the fellowship of the body of Christ?" We spiritually participate in fellowship with Jesus Christ and other believers when we come to this table. There is a mystery here that I can't explain. It's a spiritual experience. And because the Lord's Supper is a remembrance and a fellowship with Christ and other believers, those of us who take it properly experience genuine spiritual renewal. I have this feeling that whenever we come to the Lord's Supper and this table, and as we approach it in the manner at which Jesus teaches us, a revival breaks out in the body of Christ. You can't come to this table and leave it with the same burdens that you came to it. You can't come to this table with the same spirit that you had when you came, when you go away. Because you are reminded how that Christ Jesus has come into our lives and how he has changed our lives now and forever. Let me quickly mention a couple other things. The Lord intended not only that it be a place of remembrance, but it be a place of repentance. You say, where does that come? Well, it's right here a few verses beyond in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Well, think of the Lord's Supper as God's spiritual examining room. Think of the Lord's Supper as God's spiritual examining room. Jesus said, when you come to the table, examine yourself. We have strong feelings about places and things. Our country thinks a lot of its flag, and I'm with that altogether. I don't have any problem with that. And we even pass laws about people who disrespect the flag. But folks, we need not disrespect the Lord's table either. It means something. We're not to come to it lightly. We're not to come to it in an inappropriate way. It represents what God did for us when he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. It celebrates what Jesus did for us when he died for us there. And to come with an attitude of bitterness towards someone, we can't do that. To come with an attitude of unrepented sin, knowing that there's sin in our lives that God forgives. Yes, he does. but he also says there are consequences to our actions, and he invites us to examine ourselves. And so the Lord's table becomes the moment of our encounter with Christ and the moment of repentance where we say, Lord, forgive me. This is not right. My life has got to be different, and I'm not going to come to this table. If we do so, we invite God's judgment. We invite his chastening. And, some people say, well, I'm thinking about this Catholic nun who went to her mother superior, and she said, I want to confess my sinful attitude toward my other sister nun. And the mother superior says, well, you have confessed that 6 times in a row. Why are you coming back? Didn't you repent of that? She said, yes, I did, but I do so enjoy thinking about it. And so, folks, if there's some things that you enjoy thinking about, you need to come to the Lord and get this thing worked out. Maybe some questions like these will help you. Do I keep my eyes on the goal of the body of Christ, of reaching people for Christ? Am I a helper rather than one who continually needs help? Do I treasure each Lord's day as an opportunity to draw near and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, why not? Well, let's go on one last thing and we'll close to this part of this. The Lord's Supper is meant not only as a place of remembrance, a place of repentance, it's a place of witness. I'm looking at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we take the Lord's Supper and when we come to receive that, we are making a statement. We're saying to others, this is what Jesus did for us. He's coming back. I want to be ready to meet him. I walk with him in fellowship with him. We want to remember and never forget. Do this in remembrance of me. In Ireland, back at during the 19th century, a potato famine broke out in Ireland. That's why so many of the Irish people came over to America, because they were starving to death over in Ireland, and the only thing to do was come to America, find food. And so there were shiploads of people constantly coming across the waters from Ireland. And on one of those ships, to my best recollection knowledge, is a true story. There was a young Irish boy who saw as his only hope getting to America, and he stowed away on one of the ships. Didn't have the money for a ticket, but he came over. And as he stowed away and came across the water, somewhere out in the North Atlantic, the ship struck an iceberg. It was going down. And in the tradition of the sea, the captain of the ship loaded all of his passengers and crew on the remaining lifeboats that were there. He himself had gotten into the last seat of the last lifeboat, was moving away from the ship, when all of a sudden the stowaway, the young boy, the little Irish kid, decided it's time to get out of here. And so he came to the rail, and they saw him. And the captain turned the last lifeboat around, went back to the ship, climbed aboard, and told the boy, take my place. And the captain stayed on the ship. And the lifeboat went away with that little boy on board and the captain still on the sinking ship. As the lifeboat pulled away, the report is that the captain of that sinking ship called out to the boy, and he said, son, don't ever forget what I did for you today. Don't ever forget what I did for you today. Those words haunted that young boy. When he came to America, he was determined, for many reasons, but especially in remembrance of what had happened, not to forget that, and became quite successful in this country. And in the course of his journey and his success and his wealth, he had the opportunity to stand before people at times, and when he did, he would tell them this story about the captain who gave his life for him. And he said, I'll never forget what the captain of the ship said to me. Son, don't ever forget what I did for you this day. That's what Jesus said. Don't ever forget what I did for you. Let's pray. Father, it seems so little for us to do to celebrate what you did for us by coming to this table and taking this bread and this cup. There's much more we should do and can do, Lord, to confess to you right now our sins and pray that you would cleanse us and make our hearts acceptable unto you and fill us with your Spirit, that we may worship you in the beauty of your holiness, that we would never forget what you have done for us this day, and that we'll go wherever we can and be a witness to you. And we will say to people everywhere, come to supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to ask that you would respond to what God is speaking to your heart. This may be an appropriate time for you to come and just kneel somewhere across the front here and say, Lord, I want to talk to you and prepare my heart for this moment. And that's good. It may be a time when you say, Lord, I want to announce my faith in you and my commitment to you. I want to follow you in a believer's baptism. I want to walk with you, whatever it may be. But let the Lord speak to your heart. You come as we sing this last song together. And let's stand as we do. You come as God speaks to your heart.
Come just as you are, hear the Spirit.
Presence, attentiveness to God's Word. We're going to celebrate and share together a remembrance of the Lord's death for us on the cross. I'll ask you to be seated as the deacons prepare the table for us now. the scripture says that when Jesus had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." As we receive this bread and take it into our hands, may we also express our gratitude to the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you for what you have done for us. For the bread of heaven, the bread of life, may we not forget what you have done for us in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." As we drink this cup and as we take this remembrance, we do that to remember him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your sinless life and your willing death to become the effective and complete covering for our sin and our renewing relationship with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Jesus took the cup and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Scripture says that after the disciples had shared the Lord's table together, they sang a hymn and went out into the garden. Some say that the hymn that was chosen is the great Hallel, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Often we sing other songs that remind us of God's grace to us. And let's stand together as we're being dismissed in song and prayer together as we celebrate the Lord's Supper.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, to me.